Venerable religious, dear parishioners and guests, music is among the greatest gifts that God has given to us. Music has that power to impress deeply upon us the meaning of words. It's almost a language of its own. It's a universal language, even. And as I was preparing for Christmas Day, it occurred to me how many spiritual lessons are contained in the Christmas hymns and carols that we have heard so many times in our lives. Singing is praying twice, St. Augustine says, and that reinforces that idea of how powerful music is. And so I would like to reflect upon a few phrases from hymns and carols of this beloved time of the year, and just to show us all how powerful these are, how meaningful they are, and of what benefit they can indeed be to us. I think it's a fair question to ask, has there been anything in all of human history that has had more music written about it than Christmas? And the answer may be, no, there isn't anything else. This is the most sung theme. And why not? Because we were all charmed by God becoming a little child. And that brought all the creativity to the fore, you might say. And hymn and carol, one after another, countless of them, were composed in his honor and pertaining to this time. I would like to mention something that's not a religious hymn, but it has historical significance, and I don't think it's inappropriate to mention it. But 75 years ago, on this day, the world heard for the first time from Bing Crosby's radio program, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." And this was very significant because he was singing to a country that had just a little over 2 weeks before had gone to war. We had just been attacked at Pearl Harbor. And we were in the beginning of that awful time. But it was certainly a Christmas carol. And him being a Spokane native, I'm sure he thought about his winters here in Spokane. And we can certainly say we don't have to dream about a white Christmas this year. We have it. You know, the snow is beautiful, but it makes for some difficult driving and some other problems. But anyway, we have a white Christmas this year. So some hymns. Silent Night. That's why we're here in the middle of the night. Because an Austrian priest in the early 1800s wrote this beautiful little Christmas-themed poem that he would love to recite for sick children. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And then in 1818, so in 2 years, actually, we'll have the 200th anniversary of that Christmas when his organ broke down. Some say it was because of a flood. Others said because the mice ate up the leather bellows that produced the air for the organ to work, whatever it was. They needed a hymn. And this priest gave this poem that he had composed some couple years before, or some time before, and he shared it that Christmas Eve with Franz Gruber. And that Christmas Eve, the melody for Silent Night was born. And it was sung for the first time in his church. And so powerful is this hymn that miracles have happened by it. In 1914, in the beginnings of that awful conflict of World War I, there was a ceasefire on Christmas Eve. The French and German troops had been shelling one another, killing one another, trying to break through those lines of those military lines, and they took a ceasefire. And on Christmas Eve, Silent Night was sung from the German side in the German tongue, and was sung in French from the French side. Some say that these soldiers even got together. Imagine, they were just trying to kill one another the day before, and after the ceasefire, they would go back to trying to kill each other again. But the power of Silent Night brought them together to sing in praise of the Divine Infant. Nowhere in human history has this ever happened, nor will it ever happen. It's the power of that Christmas hymn. There's another hymn that tells us to come in the middle of the night to worship on Christmas Day. This was my grandfather's favorite. He was a composer in his own right, Stasis Navikas. He was quite the musician. And he considered O Holy Night by Alphonse Adam to be the greatest Christmas carol of all. And I don't know French, but just from the few words that I do know, just hearing a phrase or two from there just evokes this powerful sense of what happened that night. Minuit chrétienne, l'heure solennelle. L'heure solennelle, oh, the solemn hour. That's what happened in the middle of the night when Christ was born. And we hear also in this hymn, fall on your knees. We need to do that, my dear brethren. Fall on our knees in adoration. The hymn tells us so. And how much better we and the whole world will be if we get on our knees before the Christ child. You know, kneeling has disappeared in so many churches, including the modern Church of Vatican II. They're not solving their problems because so many problems are solved on our knees, as this hymn beautifully reminds us. I know these sayings are trite, but they are very expressive of this. It says, if a problem is long-standing, try kneeling. Another one is, God answers knee mail. Yes, you heard me right. Not email, knee mail. Remember, adoration is our first duty. It should be the first prayer that comes from our lips. Oh, there are other Christmas hymns that tell us to do the same. Oh, come, all ye faithful. And we hear that rousing chorus. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. How do we adore? In bowed adoration before him. And then We Three Kings also tells us about adoring him and bringing gifts. We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then the three verses talk about gold and incense and myrrh. Gold, the gold of charity, the incense of prayer, the myrrh of self-sacrifice. These are the gifts that the Christ child wants from us. We should have joy. St. Paul tells us, he just told us in Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And so Psalm 97 is the basis for joy to the world, the Lord has come. I won't read the whole second half of the psalm, but just a couple of lines. Sing joyfully to God, all the earth. Make melody, rejoice, and sing. Sing praise to the Lord on the harp. Make a joyful noise before the Lord our King. Let the sea be moved in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And then Mr. George Handel, the great composer, gave us that nice descending do scale. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. By the way, it's an excellent way to learn the scale and descending way. But it's just a beautiful hymn that tells us to rejoice in the nativity of our Lord and indeed rejoice in serving him. And then, angels we have heard on high. You know, it's so easy to forget about angels because they are not seen. They're invisible. They are pure spirits. And so we have to make that conscious act of faith. The angels are real. They carry messages from us to God and from God to us. And we need to be more aware of their presence. And we need to listen to them better. How well do you listen to your guardian angel? How well do you listen through the year, not just during Christmas on high, but whenever we hear those inspirations from our angel to do a particular good deed? You know, wouldn't it be a shame not to even know the angel or have a name for our angel? Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. It doesn't directly reference our Lord, but it talks about the unchanging greenness of the tree. Here are some lines. O Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging, not only green when summer's here, but also when 'tis cold and drear. O Christmas tree, how richly God has decked thee. Thou bidst us true and faithful be, and trust in God unchangingly. As we know, it doesn't lose its leaves in the cold of winter. And that evergreen tells us to always persevere. Unmistakable message. Never give up. Always keep greening. Always keep growing. Persevere. Lule, thou little tiny child. This somber Christmas hymn reminds us that even in the most charming tableau of Christmas, there was found great tragedy and evil. All the little boys under the age of two that were slain in Bethlehem. And this reminds us that God allows bad things, even tragedies, to happen because he has the power to bring some kind of good out of that evil or tragedy. And we must remember this. Sometimes we don't know or understand. But even in that Christmas setting, there was this reality. And it's a reality in our lives. But let us be bolstered with faith and confidence that God will take care of things in the long run, that he will somehow arrange things and take care of us in these difficulties. And then we are reminded, of course, O come, little children, O come, one and all. As they walked up, the little children representing Mary and Joseph and the angels remind us of what Jesus would tell us, that unless we become as little children, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to be like that, or aim for that simplicity, that spirit of obedience that children more naturally have. Jesus says it's so important that we can't save our souls without it. So this hymn reminds us about the tremendous value and importance of childhood. What a special time that is. And finally, what child is this? Whose child is that that's lying in the manger? We know he's the son of the eternal Father. We know that Saint Joseph is only his foster father, but we know that he has a natural mother, a mother according to nature, the Virgin Mary, the babe, the son of Mary. Jesus came to us through Mary. Can anybody think of a better way that God could have come to us? There is no better way. And so our best way to him is through Mary. To Jesus through Mary, let's not forget that. So I wanted to share these few thoughts with you from my heart about these wonderful hymns and carols that have inspired me and inspired you so many times. And in a way, I ask that we keep singing them throughout our lives. There's a saying, and I'm probably quoting some carol that says, Christmas lasts forever, or you got to have Christmas all year round. In a sense, that's true. Because, after all, what does the word Christmas come from? Or where does it come from? It comes from Christ's Mass. Catholics would go to not just one, but three Masses on Christmas. Christ's Mass. And so the very feast then just acquired that name. So in a sense, yes, even though the Mass is the renewal of Calvary, we can also think about Jesus being born on the altar. He comes down from heaven. So in a sense, Christmas does last throughout the year. And in that spirit of joyous giving and in striving to be that child that Jesus taught us to be children, not childish, but childlike in our virtue, in our trust, in our confidence in God. And then we will realize better those words of a way in a manger where we pray that Jesus may take us to heaven to live with thee there. So let us spend our lives singing glory to God in the highest as the angels sang on Christmas night and live those words by our love and service of Almighty God and also loving and serving one another, helping each other to get to our heavenly home. God bless you and Merry Christmas to all of you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen.